All right, let's turn to the book of John this morning, John chapter 3. John chapter 3 this morning. You pray for me. I feel like a pork chop in a Jewish synagogue right now. John chapter 3. Sorry, Brother Freed, but John chapter 3, and we'll look here at verse 16 this morning. Very familiar passage of Scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. All right, Heavenly Father, we come to you, God, this morning. I pray that, Lord, you'd calm my nerves. I pray that, Lord, you'd help us today, Lord. And I pray that, Lord, we thank you for this meeting. We thank you for this church. We thank you for this dear man of God. I thank you for Brother Gravely. And, Lord, he's not just a supporter. He's not just a pastor, but, Lord, he's a dear friend of ours. And I thank you, Lord, for him. And I pray that, God, you bless this meeting. I pray for every family, every individual in this service this morning. I pray that, God, you'd do a work that, God, that only you can do, Lord. I thank you for all what you do. In your name, amen. I want to preach for just a few minutes this morning on some things that got me involved in world missions. I believe it was a great burden upon my heart to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. God's allowed us for the last nearly 29 years, God's allowed us to serve in the country of England, 50 million people that need the gospel. England has always been known as the graveyard for missionaries. And we pray that God dealt my wife and I to go to the country of England to reach the 50 million souls for Christ. We knew that many missionaries would come and many missionaries would go. A lot of people had a lot more talent, had a lot more ability than we would ever have. I have friends that they could go and start a church in the Sahara Desert and run 5,000 just on their personality. I don't have that. I don't have. All I know what to do is preach the Word of God. All I know to do is get the gospel out. But we notice here one of the things that got me involved in world missions. We notice here in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. We notice the constraint of his love. For God so loved the world, he did not come to this world for the mountains. He didn't come here for the lakes. He didn't come here for all the scenery of the world. But we're talking about a world. We're talking about a world that's dying, going to hell today. Many times that we're comfortable in our seats. We're comfortable in our churches. We're comfortable about giving missions. We're comfortable waiting for a young preacher, of waiting for the preacher to die, waiting for some church down the road to go. But I want you to pray this morning, what would God have you to do? I don't believe it's God's will for every young preacher just to sit in the pew. I don't believe it's God's will for a young preacher to stay there in North Georgia. But I believe that there's a world that's dying without God, and there's a world that needs God today. It's not God's will for everyone to live in America. We're seeing in our fundamental Bible-believing churches, we're seeing a lack of missions today. We're seeing a lack of men and families and women who are surrendering to do what God has called you to do. What is holding you back from serving God? Are you willing to go? I pray that, young wife, don't you hold that husband back of serving God. I don't want to go to a land where there might not be a mall and there might not be a Walmart. But I thank God for that, amen. I'm glad we're serving in England where there are no Walmarts, amen. And where are no General Dollars, amen. A land of dying. There's lands
and there's countries of people dying and going to hell, and all we're doing is sitting on the church pew. All we're doing is sitting waiting for that young man for a church to call you. But it might not be God's will for you just to stay in America, but God might want you to. The recent 8 billion souls are dying and going to hell. It might not be easy, but God has a world that's dying and going to hell, and they need Jesus Christ. We think about this morning a world that's gone. There's the cry of the lost, that the field is the world. There's a world that needs to be reached with the gospel today. You might feel that you might not have that opportunity. You might not feel that you have that talent. You might not feel that you have that persuasion, be able to go into a foreign country to reach the gospel. God is not looking. He's not looking for your talent. He is not looking for your ability, but He is looking for someone that's called of God today. And too many wives have held their husband back. Too many parents have held their children back from serving God. Too many people have held back their grandchildren. I don't want my grandchild going to the mission field. I don't want my daughter and my son to go to the mission field. But my friend, the safest place can be the most dangerous place when you out of God's will. God wants us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. We need churches established. We need churches planted for the glory of God. And it's not going to be done just sitting there. It's not going to be done just talking about it. We need a herald, the herald today of a world that's dying without God, that needs God. It might not always be easy. It might not be a country that is very easy, but what God has called, or when God places a call on a man of God, there's no telling what God can do today. You might say, well, I don't have the education. You might say, I don't have the finances. But I'm glad that God is not broke today. I'm glad that God is alive and well today. He can take the most unlikely candidate to be able to do something for God, and God can do those miracles today. When we started our deputation in 1992, I graduated from Faith Baptist Bible College there in Resaca, Georgia, under Brother Sammy Allen, and we were the most unlikely people to ever make it on the mission field. You know you're in trouble when you get preachers talking to you, and dear men of God, and I remember Dr. Don Green. He said, brother, you need to tone it down a little bit on deputation. Just get the support and do what you need to do when you get to the field. And I remember sitting and talking to Dr. James Crumpton. And Dr. Crumpton, he asked Dr. Crumpton, it was like the Sanhedrin court. There was James Crumpton there. There was Mel Rudder there. There was Robert Jenkins, some of the greatest men of God, sat there at the Sanhedrin court there in Natchez, Mississippi. And they started firing questions at me. And finally asked, what do you feel that's probably one of your biggest hindrances of going into missions? And I'd probably have to say it's the English. I destroyed the Queen's English. And I felt that I would be the most unlikely person to go to England. I've saw other missionaries go to England and they made a mess and they'd fail. And I thought, Lord, I'm just going to be part of one of that crowd probably. I don't have the English. I don't have the ability. I don't have that persuasion. But God, you must be a sense of humor, and I'm willing to go if that's what you want me to do. And we went there and we started knocking on doors. We just started going out on the street preaching the word of God. And you wonder why. You might be here, I just don't understand why my church is not growing today. Well, you know what? You need to get out there and knock on some doors. You need to get out there and get some gospel tracts out. They're not just going to come into our church. We need to go out there and reach, and there's a world that's died without God. Oh, there's the cry of the world. Are you willing to let the blood be upon your town? Are you willing to let the blood be upon that area where God has allowed you to minister, to preach the word of God? You might not be able to. You say, well, I'm afraid to go out and knock on doors. But Elisha can go out and get the gospel out. The Bible said faith come out of hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that's the first thing we did when we got to the mission field. We started giving out the word of God. We started giving out gospel tracts. We started giving out John and Romans. We just started giving out Bibles. Here 2 years ago, we declared for our church is going to be the year of the Bible. And we started giving out New Testaments into every home in our town. And I had a mission organization contact me, and they said, Brother Tooley, we want to supply you the word of God. And I thought, well, I'm not even one of your missionaries. They said, well, that don't matter. Well, that board, that normally did matter. If you weren't with them, that you weren't part of the elect pretty much. And it said, but you know what? We saw you've been faithful in England, and we want to give you something to get the gospel out. And so they sent us 10,000 New Testaments. And we didn't realize that they came, and they had big crates of, huge old semi pulled up there. And there's unloading all those crates, and we started unloading them, and we started going out door to door, and people in our church, we started giving the gospel out, and you would have thought that we were doing the most horrible things. I've had death threats upon my life. People said, how dare you give the word of God into my home? In England every house has a mail slot, and we go and put the gospel through those mail slots. And you're allowed to do that. And so a lot of times when we're going out, there's nobody home. And there was one day someone gave me a phone call, and this lady called up me, and she said, I don't know who you are, but all I know, your number's on this New Testament, and there's a gospel. We put a invitation, our church and things in there. And she said, I came home and I saw a Bible laying at my doorstep. And she, you would have thought I've just put a bomb in her door. It was a gospel bomb, amen. And she said, I'm all nervous. I got anxiety problem now thinking of a Bible's laying there. And I said, what you need to do is get saved, amen. And we've had other people get upset. But you know, we started sowing that seed of the word of God. And I believe we just need to get back of sowing the word of God, sowing the scriptures. The Bible will go farther than you ever go. And say, preacher, they don't want to hear it. I can guarantee you, I'm in a land where less than 2% would even go to a church whatsoever. And we're in a land that does not want to know what God has to say, but we're just going to keep on going. And that's what you need to do in your community. In your church, you want to see your church grow, and you want to be able to reach people with the gospel. Well, we just going to have to get off of sitting down on the pew and go out there and reach a world that's dying without God for the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, the Bible says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Ghost, teaching them, observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you even unto the end of the world. I don't believe God would give us a great commission that could not be fulfilled today. You know, today we have more ability than we've ever had today. We are blessed in America. God has blessed us. us. He said, but preacher, we're supposed to be in a recession. I wish someone would tell everyone else that, because as we're traveling up down these roads, and you go up and down these interstates, the roads are full. You go down the Walmart, Walmart's full. You go down the mall, the malls are full today. It's not because of a lack of finances. It's not because of a lack of resources. I believe it's laziness today. We wonder why. Why is Calvinism taking over our churches today? Why is Calvinism taking over our land today? Because we're not going out. We'd rather believe a lie. We would rather be lazy instead of reaching a world that's dying, going to hell. The blood will be upon our hands in America if we don't do something and get busy evangelizing and reaching the world for God. God says, go you into all the world, not just America, do into all the world today. Everywhere I look, I'm called to be involved, because when I look at the scriptures, God has involved me in missions because of the scriptures today. God's perception is the world, a world that is dying without God. How can we lay our heads at bed at night knowing there is a world that is dying without Jesus Christ today? God's provision that whomsoever will. It's not a select few. It's not just for the Americans. It's not just for the Chinese. It's not just for the British. But it's for a world that's dying and going for God, for whosoever will. I tell you today, it's for everyone. There's a world that's dying and going to hell, and we need to get busy. We need to get busy in doing the reach of the world for Jesus Christ. God wants to reach the Jewish. God wants to reach the British. God wants to reach the world for the glory of God. When we came to England, people would not support us when we was on deputation because we were going to Europe. 750 million people in Eastern and Western Europe that needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. They said, well, Europe has already had the gospel. But you know, I'm glad someone, when they knocked on my door back in 1977, invited me to come to the house of God as a bus kid. I'm glad they just didn't knock on my door one time. I'm glad I just didn't hear the gospel one time. God was gracious that I got to hear it. Here today, we can turn on the internet and hear the gospel. We can turn on the radio and hear the gospel. We can go on the street and see the billboards of Bible verses today. By my friend, God has given us repeated times. God has allowed us to hear the gospel. But the people that heard the gospel in Europe of those 750 million people many years ago, under the days of Spurgeon, under the days of Whitfield, under the days of Wesley, those people are not here anymore. They're dead and gone. But there's been how many generation after generation? And you'll find that in England itself, the fastest growing church is not a Baptist church. The fastest growing church, that's not even a church, but it's a mosque. A mosque. The Muslims are reaching our land. And if we don't do something, over 500 different cults, the Jehovah Witnesses are coming. The Mormons are coming. But what are the independent Baptists doing to reach the world? The Muslims are outdoing us. The Mormons are outdoing us. They have the resources. We have the resources of America to reach the world, but we're more interested in our wallets. We're more interested in our cars. We're more interested in our homes instead of reaching a world that's dying and going without God. That God has a plan to reach the world who believeth in Him. God wants us to go to Him. He wants us to go to people that need Jesus Christ. God has a promise that they should not perish. There's a world that's perishing because we're not going. I pray that young preacher, I pray that young family, why don't you pray in this meeting what God would have you to do, where God would have you to go. It might not be easy. It is not easy. We've seen 70 missionary families leave in Great Britain since we've been there. And some of those families have had a lot more talent. They had a lot more abilities than my wife and I would ever have. We raised our children up on the field. People said it cannot be done. You couldn't start a Baptist church of England. You couldn't start a church that had standards and convictions. You couldn't start a church, major on preaching and get the gospel out. I can't do it. And you can't do it. But the Holy Ghost of God can do it. God can do that. Where you say, well, that just don't work anymore. We have to lower our standards. And we got to lower what we believe. And we got to stop on preaching and be more of a teacher than a preacher. And we need to get out there. We need to do it. And as we go out and reach these people for God, and as you reach the people in your church, it doesn't end there. This might not be popular, but in our independent Baptist churches, what are we doing to teach our people? What are we doing to ground our people? We used to say that discipleship was compromise. But we need to reach our people the gospel. As we reach them, we need to train them. That's a biblical command of God. It's the Great Commission. It's the Great Command. We're not just to reach them. We're not just to bring them to our church to see them saved and walk down the aisle and get saved to join our church and just be baptized. But they need to be trained. Pastors, if you're here and you don't have a discipleship program, God help you. Because you're sending those young Christians as wolves out in these streets. We need to know, why do we believe the King James Bible is the Word of God? We need to know, why do we believe in the Trinity? Why do we believe once saved, always saved? Why do we believe in the blood of Jesus Christ? They may be taking our Bible, and they may be trying to take it out of the hymn book, but I'm glad that the blood still saves. I'm glad that blood, that old-fashioned blood that Jesus Christ shed at the cross of Calvary, he'll still work today. He'll still change your life today. He'll still change your church today. He'll still plant a church. He'll reach souls of Jesus Christ today. The blood of the Lamb of God, it will never fail, my friend. He'll go farther than you ever can go and save your soul. We had a fellow just got saved right before we left to go on furlough. His name is Dan. Pray for Dan. He's just gotten saved. We have another missionary filling in for us so we can take a 6-month furlough. And Dan started coming to our church. Now, Dan's the most unlikely fella that you'd ever have come to an independent Baptist church. He's rough. I mean, he's rough as can be. And Dan started coming. And we just had our missions conference. I believe it's God's will for mission churches to have a missions conference. It's not just to give the missions. It's not just for your local church, but I believe it's for every local church anywhere in the world that God wants us to reach people. And you may be, maybe even a country like Africa and other countries that maybe don't have a lot of money, but they can give what they can able to give that God tells them, and God will bless them. And Dan was coming and he heard about that. And so Dan went and gave £100 in the offering. And that, now that might not seem much for us, but for a lot of people in our country, that's a lot of money in England, because England's heavily taxed. And so that was a big thing. He'd never done that before. And Dan came back the next week, and he said, "Preacher, you wouldn't believe it." He said, "I gave £100 in the offering for the very first time. I got £1,000 showed up in my bank account." And he said, "I don't know what happened." He said, "Man, you said you can't outgive God." And said, "I gave 100, and now he gave me back 1,000, amen. He gave me back another £900. And said, "Well, Dan, imagine if you gave 5,000 or 10,000. What would God have given you then, amen? You can't outgive God." And he'd hear me preach it. He'd hear something that said, "Man, it happens. I can't believe it." And he came and he said, I want you to come to my house and I want to know how to get saved. And he said, I'm lost. He's one of these fighters. UFC, UFO, I don't know what you call it. But he's a fighter, and he goes down to Brazil and fights. He's a bad dude, basically. In the Greek, that's what it means. And I wouldn't want to meet him in the aisle. I wouldn't want to meet him in a dark alley. But he came to an old-fashioned independent Baptist church and heard sin and heard that he was a sinner. And then we was in his living room. And his daughter, he had three daughters, and they're all sitting there watching this Baptist preacher deal with their daddy. And the oldest girl, she said, my daddy's not a sinner. And he said, well, I said, this Bible says he is. And said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so I looked over at Dan, and Dan tried to explain to his girls, your daddy's not always made the right decisions. Your daddy's done some bad things in my life. And Dan's a good guy. He is a good guy. But he's a sinner, just like we are. And he knelt down at bed, and he got saved. And that girl, whose one daughter got mad about her, that calling her daddy a sinner. And I told her, you know what? I'm going to tell you, not only is your daddy a sinner, but you're a sinner too. And you're a sinner. And she didn't really like that. But then the next day, Dan shows up on Saturday morning. And Dan shows up. And he comes up to church visitation on Saturday morning. And I believe, church, if you don't have a church visitation program, you need to get a visitation program. Pete, your church is not going to grow without going out and getting the world the gospel. And so he shows up on Saturday morning, and we're passing out gospel tracts, going door to door, giving the word of God out. And then about a month ago, I got a text on my phone about a month ago. You know that girl who got mad at me? Well, she was out with her daddy on church visitation. Now, she's not saved. She's lost. But God's dealing with her heart, amen. And she's out. I said, should you have a lost person out on visitation? I'd rather have a lost person, amen, out on visitation, getting the gospel out, because eventually they're going to get saved by the grace of God. But, you know, when I got involved in world missions, I looked at the Savior. I had to look at the Savior, a Savior that came to the world and died, came on that old rugged cross, and it shed his blood for you and I. I had to get involved in missions because it's a Savior. Oh, his commitment, his crucifixion is coming. When I look at the saints, I had to get involved in missions. The pleading of sending us the gospel. I had to get involved because the saints of God, these old time saints of God that love God, they talked about giving to mission, talk about reaching the world. I remember when I moved to Concord Baptist Church, and my pastor, who was at that time, Brother Sammy Allen, he got up there and said, one day this church is going to support 300 missionaries. And we're going to give so much money every year to missions. And I'll be honest, Brother Chris, I thought the man had heat stroke. Because I looked out there and I saw, you know, half the church was full of children. There's no way we're ever going to be able to give that kind of money to missions. But God gave that man of God that burden. And God gave him, allowed him to do that. And God is still doing it today under Brother Sutherland. Still have that burden for missions. It's not time to back up on your missions. It's not time to cut a missionary. But it's time to add missionaries, and maybe even not, instead of having run the rows up and down the rows everywhere every week, why don't you just take them on and save that job to doing that? But when I look at the saints, I see of why I had to get involved in missions. But when I look at sinners, I see their condition. They're lost without God. I had to get involved. When I look at the sinners, I had to get involved. But when I look at, lastly, I look at the judgment seat of Christ. Have we forgotten the judgment seat of Christ? You used to hear in revival meetings on Friday night, we'd talk about the second coming. We talk about the judgment seat of Christ today. We're not hearing this doctrinal preaching being preached in our churches today. When I look at that judgment seat, there's a day of reckoning. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. We're going to give an account to God. Are we going to have the blood be upon our hands for our town? Are we going to have the blood to be upon our hands in our city? But preacher, you don't understand. Things are different today. Yes, they are different today. There's more people dying and going to hell than there ever was. We'll spend more money on dog food. We'll spend more money on cat food. We'll spend more money on our cell phone bill. We'll spend more money on a cup of coffee than giving to the evangelizing of the world today. I tell you, we can just learn just to sacrifice a cup of coffee. If we can learn to sacrifice a dog food, what we can do in our churches to reach a world that's dying going to hell. But not just giving, but giving yourself. Why don't you dedicate, give your life to God? Ask God, where would God have me to go? Will you even be willing to give your life? How many young preachers are we seeing surrendering to the ministry today? How many missionaries surrendering go to the mission field? Matter of fact, I've talked to pastors since we've been back and said, I'm having a struggle finding a missionary to come to my church because people are not going, especially a foreign missionary. And we have to get involved because the judgment seat of Christ. Are you going to be able to sit at your seat, sit in your home with your precious little family when there's a world that's dying without God? You can go to many places in the world. You don't even have to learn a foreign language. And praise God if you go to that type of country. I have a hard enough time without English. Amen. But there's many countries you can go. You can get off that plane and you can start preaching and start establishing a church, the reason with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Many people, and I want you to pray what God would have you to do. Now, I'm a cheerleader for Europe, I have to admit it. There's 750 million people in Europe. Dan Truax, he would go. Yeah, Dan, I'm sorry, I took too long. Dan Truax, we used to say about, you got to go to Africa. Got to go to Africa on Dr. Seidler. I want to tell you, there's 750 million people in Europe that's dying and going to hell without God. What would you do about that? Where would God would have you to go for the glory of God, to do the work of missions for God's glory? Many places, a visa's not very easy to get. But if God has called you, God will make that way. I had a young preacher call me from Golden State Baptist College not very long ago, and he asked me, Brother Tooley, what do you have to do to get a visa in England? Or what about this European country or that European country? And I told him, I said, young man, I don't know who you are. But all I know is if God has called you, because it's more than just a burden, it's a call of God. Oh, that's why many missionaries come and they don't stay on the field because they had a burden. But we're talking about call of God. And if God has called you to go to that land, to that country, it don't matter what the visa requirement is. It don't matter how much support you need. Because where God guides, he will provide. And if you're here, don't hold back because of you look at this, I'm looking at that, I'm looking at this. But you give your life to God. And that's what God would have you do for God's glory. Ardently, Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity. And Lord, I pray that you speak to our hearts today. In your name, amen. Give an invitation here. So if you're here and you need to come, maybe you just need to pray. Pray for the countries of the world that needs God. Pray for England. Pray for those 50 million people in our country that needs God. We need more laborers. The Jewish people need God today. There's many places, your community. Maybe give your life to God. Ask God, what would you have me to do? Where would you have me to go? God might not send you to England. God might not send you to Africa. God might just send you to be a missionary across the street, across your town. But what are you doing? When's the last time you gave it a gospel tract? You might want to come to this old-fashioned altar and say, Lord, whatever you would have me to do, I'm willing to go. I'm willing to go across the street. I'm willing to go across the town. If you've never done that, maybe you need to come to this old-fashioned altar and say, Lord, I want to be a soul winner. I want to be a witness for Jesus Christ. Maybe God's calling you to preach. Maybe God's calling you to go to the mission field. Many missionaries are getting older. I'm going to be 60 next year. I don't know how long I have, but I'm going to keep on going until I can go. But we need some younger men that follow those steps, do what God has called us to do.